Hey guys, and welcome back to another Coffee with Kim episode. Another chat that is based on hopefully clearing some confusion you have around nutrition. So today the topic is about comparing a vegan diet to an omnivorous diet. So maybe you've heard a lot of debate out there around whether we should be going completely plant-based. And by plant-based, I mean, even that word's a little bit thrown around these days. Some people, when they're talking about plant-based, they're meaning mostly plants with some animal protein, whereas other people, when they talk about plant-based, they're meaning vegan. So absolutely no animal products whatsoever. And, you know, I'm in this space of trying to essentially help women to break free from unnecessary restriction, break free from unnecessary eliminations. I try and help them to nourish themselves properly, to get the nutrients that they need for their bodies to thrive. And something that I've found can really impact that is any kind of recommendation out there that makes them fear food or reduces their variety. But it's complicated, right? Because you've also got this environmental sustainability element when it comes to talking about and like whether or not you eat or avoid animal foods. So let's just have this open discussion about it today. I'm not gonna tell you at the end, you're not allowed to go vegan, that's bad for you. This isn't gonna be about that, because it's just not that black and white. Let's just have an open discussion about it. So what we wanna cover today is the arguments that are currently being presented out there for veganism and against, so more for an omnivorous diet. I was actually kind of inspired to do this episode because I watched the latest Netflix documentary. So every year there seems to be another documentary about, usually from America, about reducing meat consumption, going vegan. And because I know a lot of like health conscious women are interested in nutrition, I know there's a good chance that you're probably watching these. And some of the information we're getting from these videos is helpful, but sometimes it's not really giving you the bigger picture. Sometimes they are quite biased. So I'd like to just give you an insight into some of the biases that can be in there, just so that you can end up making a more informed decision for yourself. So we'll look at the arguments that are currently presented for and against, but then look at it from this viewpoint of, okay, well, because a lot of these documentaries, they're talking about, what's best for global population health, for like longevity and, you know, sustainability. And those things are important. But a lot of women I work with, as I say, needing to re-nourish, to hit nutrient targets and to feel less anxious and feel less guilty around what they're eating. So I want to talk to you guys about this topic from that perspective. So when you're working with women who are trying to meet nutrient targets, who are trying to have a healthy relationship with food, to break free from the all or nothing mentality, how can we incorporate this knowledge and apply it to women? So I'll also kind of so I'll explain to you the parts of these sort of documentaries and the science that maybe I agree with, and other parts that I think are just not that black and white. And that kind of leads me into maybe sharing a bit of my story when it comes to this particular topic. So I've never gone vegan before, but I've certainly throughout my teens and 20s, when I was on the health mission, I looked for, what do I need to eliminate? You know, like I was looking for the culprit in food and the hero. And I think a lot of women still look at it this way, because that's kind of what the food industry has been doing for God knows how many years, ever since diet became a thing. I mean, if you think about it, we've had so many heroes and culprits. We've had, carbs being the culprit. We've had sugar being the culprit. Then it was fats. And I think it really creates this focus on what can we eliminate rather than what nutrients do we need to put in, what nutrient targets do we need to be hitting. So I spent so many years trying to figure out, what should I be eliminating? And that, you know, by the time you've eliminated, you know, well, fats are bad, and now carbs are bad, and now sugar's bad, you start running out of foods, right? And I think what you learn once you sort of stick around and observe this kind of, these kind of diet trends years and, you know, as the years go by, is you learn that, well, there's always going to be something, right? But they also notice that nobody seems to be able to agree that there's this one perfect way of eating. So I think we almost want to look at this whole, you know, meat-free, dairy-free, animal protein-free new diet trend, perhaps in that same way. Like, maybe this is just another attempt for the diet industry to pick one thing and get us to focus our attention on that, rather than looking at the bigger picture. So, yeah, and to be honest, like, the reality is most of the women who come to see me, they're nutrient deficient. So they're not getting enough protein. They're not getting enough healthy carbs. They're often not getting enough healthy fats. Most people aren't getting enough vegetables. So I honestly just think we need to shift this mentality of elimination to re-nourishment, okay? So let's look at some of these arguments for and against veganism that are, you know, being put out there. So kind of looking like at, the different documentaries, some of the advocates, there's kind of like four key things that they're looking at, they're sort of arguing. So we've got the environmental sustainability factor. Okay, so particularly in the America, there is horrendous animal farming that goes on, so far from what you would ever see in nature. Not to mention that they are cutting down like rainforests in order to provide more land for more cows to have more beef. So there's undeniably an issue there. The other argument, though, is that plant foods are extremely healthy for us, and particularly a diverse group of plants. And therefore, you know, the argument is like, by going vegan, that you're going to increase your intake of plant foods, which have a great impact on the body. The third one is that, well, there's no need to eat animal products because you can make a vegan diet nutritionally adequate. Okay, we will go into that. So number four is that animal products contain saturated fat, and too much saturated fat increases our LDL cholesterol, which is a metabolic health risk. And therefore, by eliminating animal products, we're going to naturally eliminate a lot of saturated fat sources, which can then lower our LDL and reduce those risk factors. So I've got environment, plants are awesome, it is possible to make it nutritionally adequate, and saturated fat reduction. So looking at these four, let's actually go into them and see if this is, if these points are strong enough to warrant me telling a young girl who's trying to heal their relationship with food that she should eliminate all animal protein, including dairy. Is it strong enough? Okay. So the first one is the environmental argument. I must say, this is probably the strongest argument that that there is for us eliminating or reducing our animal product consumption. And I actually felt emotional when I was watching this on Netflix documentaries. I'm sure that anybody who watches them too feel this way when you see these horrendous environments these animals are being put through. It's actually sickening, isn't it? So undeniably, like, that is absolutely not okay for us to be consuming. In my opinion, there's no guilt here. In my opinion, I believe that is it's not okay for us to be consuming foods that have been, animals that have been put through that. And the reality is, none of us are really doing that consciously, are we? So if I think not everybody is thinking of that when they're purchasing their meat or their fish, maybe as humans we'd like to just turn a bit of a blind eye to it. But once you, you know, if you do think about it, it can kind of get you thinking, like, is this something that I want to support? So what I want to say here, though, is we need to when we're watching these documentaries, we need to recognize that these are filmed in America. They're not filmed in New Zealand. So first, you just want to check when you're watching these things is, you know, is what I'm saying, is this actually what's happening in my own country? So as a New Zealander, we actually have really good access to grass-fed beef, and that is a much nicer environment for them to be in. So maybe we can feel a bit better about that consumption if we know that it's not in those horrendous environments that we see in America. Same with fish. So we have options here. You can find sustainably sourced fish, or we might try and learn to fish ourselves, and you know, then you're not contributing to the to unsustainable fishing methods. I think that can be one thing we can sort of work on when it comes to the sustainability factor, is making sure that if we are going to be consuming animal products, we are not contributing to the horrendous ways that is being done throughout the world. And we are lucky. We do actually have more access to that in New Zealand compared to other countries. The other thing that we can do to support the environment here is to just eat less, to genuinely eat less. And I'll talk about this soon. So we do need to hit protein targets, but protein doesn't just come from animal sources. It also comes from nuts and seeds and legumes. And I think, you know, I have never been like a vegan or a vegetarian advocate, but I am seeing that we do need to reduce our protein consumption, and I believe that we can do that without having to sacrifice too much nutrients if we are incorporating both. So that kind of leads me to this next argument. So what they're saying is that plants are, are amazing for you, and they absolutely are. So this this argument for going vegan is like the basis from which it's formed is scientifically very, very strong. Okay, so to say, well, we should be increasing our fruit and veg because it's more healthy for us, our legumes, our grains. Yeah, like there's some brilliant research out there now around the power of plant diversity for supporting a healthy gut microbiome. But I guess my question here is, but can we still get that benefit from that beautiful plant diversity? Can we get that benefit from that plant diversity without also having to put a complete elimination on animal products? And I think you can, especially if we start using the power of protein from the plants so that we don't need to have as much protein from the animal protein. Number three, so can a vegan diet be nutritionally adequate? And this is, I think, something that gets kind of confusing because it depends how you look at it, right? Technically you can, but you are going to have to use supplements. So some people will say, yes, you can make a vegan diet nutritionally adequate if they're happy to accept supplementation as a form of making it adequate. I like to have this mentality that if there's a way of eating that requires a pill for us to hit our minimum nutrient requirements, I struggle to believe that that is the best way of eating for humans. So there's a couple of nutrients that you just cannot get without consuming some kind of animal product or fish. So protein isn't one of them, okay? So we can hit our protein. We can even hit our full amino acid profile on plants if you pick the right variety of plants. But you can't actually get B12 from plant products, at least as far as we know. So, and also it's very difficult to hit things like our zinc and our iron and EPA, which is an omega-3 that comes from fish. Yes, you can get omega-3 from chia seeds and flax seeds, but you consume that omega-3 in a form that is difficult to convert to EPA. So there's some nutrients out there that we call in nutrition essential nutrients, okay? And there's, so you've got essential amino acids, you've got essential fatty acids, and essential means the body can't make these on its own. So we know that animal protein, that gives us our full range of essential amino acids, just easily. And we also know that fish, it provides us with essential fatty acid in the form of omega-3. So when you start looking at like I say, zinc, things like zinc and iron, it's difficult to get the quantities that we need to thrive without animal protein. It's not saying that it's impossible. Like I say, you can take supplements and things to hit these targets. It's just, is it really necessary? And I just wonder, can we find this middle ground where we can still support the environment, still be making changes so that it is more sustainable without having to add another elimination, you know, without having to have women feel guilty for eating something or struggling to hit their basic nutrient requirements. So this last one, so too much saturated is bad for our health, is another argument, again, for avoiding all animal products. So saturated fat has been very hotly debated, I must say. And I've actually gone through quite a journey myself with my opinion on saturated fat. So when I used to work in like a lower carb, high healthy fat setting, so there was a explosion of research almost 10 years ago, around the fact that actually maybe we got it wrong, maybe sugar isn't the culprit. Maybe fat isn't the culprit, maybe it's sugar. And then the keto LCHF was born, but they almost went a little bit too far with it, I think. So we realized, well, actually sugar's is actually causing these major issues. Some of the saturated fat research was flawed. Well, let's go guns blazing again and say saturated fat's absolutely fine. You know, it's healthy, it's from a whole food. And when you think about, if you're adopting like this whole food lens, then, and this is what happened to me, I sort of thought, well, yeah, saturated fat, you know, if I'm thinking about whole foods, it's probably fine because you often get it from more whole food source. So if you're thinking about animals, products is like natural, it hasn't had any artificial colors, flavors, additives. It's something that's found in nature. You would say, okay, well, it can't be that bad for you if it's found in nature, right? Where I'm at with it now, though, is that when you look at the quantities of saturated fat that we would have had before the agricultural evolution, it was probably a lot less than what we're having now. So we would have sometimes had access to these nice, you know, fatty meats, but it would have been very seasonal. Okay, so seasonally, animals went through kind of the same cycle we would have gone through, whereas sometimes they would have had an abundance of food and then they would have been able to put on a little bit of weight, have more body fat. And then there would have been other times where they would have been struggling to find food and they would have actually been very, very lean. Whereas these days we can control and maintain these high levels of calories and fat percentages in our animal produce to keep these saturated fat levels actually quite high and just constantly available. So I'm not sure we were actually designed to eat consistently throughout the year large amounts of saturated fat. Probably not. Okay, and we do know that saturated fat as well can contribute to a bit of insulin resistance. So there's two sides to this. All fat consumed within a meal can help lower the GI of a meal. So you might say, well, that helps insulin resistance. But then you've also got, on the other hand, the fact that it can also contribute to, like, it decreases your insulin sensitivity to a point, they've found, by the way that it interacts with different cells. So, yeah, I've almost gone on a bit of a journey with saturated fats where I think I no longer recommend people just freely add butter. I don't believe in bulletproof coffees. I used to recommend, you know, oh, it's fine, you know, just leave all your skin on your chicken and eat the fat off your steak. I think we need to be a bit cautious with saturated fats, because it does increase LDL. And sure, sometimes LDL, you know, there's two types of LDL. You've got your large buoyant, your small dense LDL. It's a small dense LDL that's usually problematic. So some of the arguments for that is like, well, it's fine to have high LDL because you don't know what type of particles they are. Again, I just think maybe we need to be a little bit more cautious. There's a number of things in nutrition where everybody seems to agree on. So, for example, plant diversity, everybody seems to agree with that. You know, whether it's the vegans or the low carbs or the high carbs, like we're pretty sure vegetables are great for us. Whereas saturated fat, there's still a lot of debate going on. And so I think when there's a lot of debate going on with something, it's almost safer to actually err on the side of caution, just to be mindful not to go to any extreme. So I don't think we need to avoid saturated fat altogether, but I think it's kind of one of those ones where it's like, let's see how we go with this. So coming back to whether this means that we should go vegan, I guess the question is, well, is there a way that we can adopt an omnivorous diet that is relatively lower in saturated fat? And from a nutrition perspective, so I often have to look at numbers when I'm helping somebody form their diet. And yes, you can. You can definitely adopt a lower saturated fat omnivorous diet. You can go for lower fat dairy. You can go for leaner cuts of meat. And by doing that, it means that you can maybe include these foods without eliminating them altogether, but still making sure that it's not erring on that side of risk, say with the saturated fat side of things. Okay. So yeah, so there's a lot to it. I think where I stand with like, you know, veganism, you know, versus omnivore, I am not yet ready to tell girls to eliminate dairy and to eliminate all animal sources. But I am definitely ready to accept that saturated fats probably are not as safe as we thought, and that we all need to increase our vegetables. Absolutely. I think we also need to be mindful of the environment, and in any way that we can reduce our protein from animal sources, to at least try. Yeah. So what I'm doing a lot with girls at the moment is, and thinking about when I'm cooking and thinking of new recipes is, well, how can we at least, say you're trying to hit 30 grams of protein in one sitting, how can we get at least 15 of that protein to come from the plant-based foods, which means that when you want to add your other protein source in there, say like chicken, you only need to add like 60 grams instead of like 120. How can we literally halve the protein serving that we put into our meals? I think this is a really balanced, sustainable approach, which gives us the best chance of still having access to all these cool ingredients to make cooking still fun and yum, but still, I guess, yeah, moving with the times, like taking in this information that we're getting and trying to incorporate the stuff that is actually probably true and valuable, with the least negative side effects. So yes, look, this might, my opinion on this might change, okay? This is just kind of where I stand right now. Nutrition is an ever-evolving space, and I hope that this gives you some kind of, at least gives you a perspective, and perhaps gives you permission that you don't have to completely choose either side. You know, you can you're allowed to kind of sit in the middle with this and adopt a more holistic approach, a flexible approach. Hope you found this helpful, and I'll see you next episode.